morning is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Years ago, you might have remember a famous commercial that, or set of commercials that were on TV. Cell phone provider from the United States, Verizon. Clever set of ads, right? A man walking through the town on his phone, and he says, "Can you hear me now?" "Good." And then he walks 10 more feet and says, "Can you hear me now?" "Good." And it goes on and on and on. The whole point of the ad campaign was simply to promote how good their reception was in terms of their coverage throughout the United States. Maybe we can put that first slide up, Clement. This morning I want to talk to you about our reception. See, because I'm of the opinion that God does speak to us maybe more often than we think or imagine. I'm just not sure we always have ears to hear. Sometimes I think our reception is just a little off, a little out of sync, maybe even to the point where I wonder if God ever says, "Can you hear me now?" It's not that God is limited, don't get me wrong. It's just that I think sometimes our reception can be. And so this morning I want to talk about that, and not in the sense of hearing a definitive, audible voice. Because, to be honest, and I lay my cards out for you on the table, I do not believe that is the way that God communicates today. Can he? Sure. He's God. But there are many ways in which God still speaks to us nonetheless. But I just wonder if we can hear him. Let me share a personal example of one possible way in which God does speak to us. After high school, next week we're going to, you know, recognize the grads. And, you know, honestly, after high school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And most of my peers knew they were going to this college or this university or whatever. And so I just got a job in retail. And I quickly worked my way up into retail management at the ripe age of 19. I did that for a number of, for a few years until something strange happened. And I remember it vividly. On a Sunday during a worship service, an announcement occurred actually at the end of the service, and it was a strong plea for volunteers to help at a Bible camp the following Saturday. I heard that announcement, and there was something tweaked in me, certainly. I felt this conviction, this compulsion. I had the week off, and so I volunteered, and I went. And I liked it so much I went again the year after as a volunteer. Meanwhile, my retail career was rolling along swimmingly and doing so until I hit a wall. I knew my job. I had great staff. But the location that I was managing just wasn't doing as well as it should, and it didn't make any sense. At the same time, as I say, I had this inner compulsion for some kind of change that I didn't know what to do with. So I asked a friend from the church that I was attending whether God closes some doors and opens other ones. I was still relatively young in my faith. I really didn't know the answer to that question. And so I asked. And he chuckled and he said, yeah, sometimes God does that. Now, the real reason I asked that question was because I had felt compelled to quit my job and serve at that same camp for the whole summer. After that, who knows? And so I did. And my life took a new turn that ultimately really led even to this place and this moment today. God's call upon my heart to eventually serve him vocationally came through a set of circumstances and some godly advice. And after that summer was over, I finally had a clear sense of what God was calling me to in my life. I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard nonetheless through circumstances and through others. Now, I suppose this opens up a wider question here this morning. The wider question is, does God still speak to us today? And if so, how? And how do I discern what he's saying? To begin to answer this, I want us to look at this encounter here in 1 Samuel chapter 3. That is probably a familiar story to many, but it'll only begin to help us answer the question, help us navigate really through what are divergent thoughts and opinions on the topic. We may not come out to a place that you expect or hope or anticipate or have all your questions answered about the topic, but at least we have a starting place. And that's okay. A way through the wilderness of the opinions that we might find before us. Let me lay out the context, though, first, because it's significant. Because in chapter 1 in 1 Samuel, we're introduced to a woman named Hannah. For reasons unknown, she was unable to bear a child, so she prayed. She pleaded with the Lord for a son and made a vow if she had a son that she would dedicate him to the Lord for service all his life. The priest named Eli saw her praying, lips moving but no sound, and mistook her for someone maybe that had a little too much wine. She made it clear she was not drunk. Just a woman deeply troubled by her situation who said, I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli blessed her. They parted company. God answered her prayer. She gave birth to a son, and she fulfilled her promise, dedicating him to the Lord. That's how Samuel came to serve in the temple with Eli. In chapter 2, we learn that Eli's own sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were also priests because they were in the priestly line, a family thing, but they were wicked, sinned greatly against the Lord. Eli confronted them, but they didn't care. They didn't listen, they didn't change. And Eli didn't do much else about it. And they were about to face a tragic end. Meanwhile, chapter 2, verse 26 says, and the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. And along comes chapter 3. We're not sure how old Samuel was at this point, probably 12 or 13. And Eli himself was old and not long for this earth, because as chapter 3, verse 3 poetically describes him, it says, "The lamp had not yet gone out, but his eyes were weak, and he could not, or he could barely see." This is the description of a man who is near the end. He's in his final days. In fact, and in chapter 4, we learn that when Eli does die, he's 98 years old. But here in our text, chapter 3, we have Eli and Samuel. We're both in the temple. They're lying near the Ark of the Covenant in their usual places, sleeping. And that's when the Lord called out to Samuel. But before that, notice what verse 1 says. Even before God speaks, because it sets the stage for the importance of God calling out to Samuel. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days," the latter half of verse 1, "the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." Now, perhaps that was the case as a bit of a commentary on the wickedness of Eli's sons and Eli's complicity as well. I mean, after all, they're priests ministering in the temple. They're supposed to set the stage for Israel's spiritual life, and they are as far away from God as possible. They'd wandered from God, and therefore, perhaps God isn't speaking. Maybe. A good case can be made for that. But it could also just simply be what Amos says. In Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 12, he describes what is a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And so sometimes there just simply is a famine of that. Or at other times, Joel chapter 2, which is quoted again in Acts chapter 2, shows an abundance of hearing the word of the Lord. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And so there are cycles, it seems, in terms of God speaking specific revelation to people. Sometimes there's a famine. Sometimes there's a feast. Now, let me point out two things before we go any further. Two things the common person in the Old Testament did not have that we have, so that we can have a fuller understanding of this topic in this passage. We have a finished product, as it were, the Bible, the Word of God, which is God's Word, His will revealed to us. In Samuel's time, yes, scrolls and records were being kept, but God often spoke in visions and dreams, sometimes also very audibly. But we have the Word of God fully revealed. We also have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon certain people at certain times, on certain occasions, but did not necessarily remain with those people. For example, sometimes, and maybe you remember the old chorus that we sometimes sing from Psalm 51, "Create in me a clean heart." Well, in that song, in that psalm, David prays, "Do not cast me away from your presence," or "Take your Holy Spirit from me," because in the Old Testament, that did happen. They did not have the permanence of the indwelling Spirit. We do. And as we have looked at it recent times, the Spirit, remember, the Advocate, the Paraclete, is the one who comes alongside and comforts as well as convicts of sin, leads us in understanding God's Word, God's will, and God's way. That wasn't always a reality for the people of Samuel's time. And so God communicates to us through the presence of His Spirit, through His Word, which is His revealed will. But back then, He spoke in visions, dreams, sometimes with an audible voice, like we encounter today, as verse 4a says, "Then the Lord called Samuel." It was obviously something that happened out loud. Samuel doesn't recognize the voice of God at first. But notice his response. As soon as he hears a voice calling his name, he runs to Eli and says, "Here I am, you called me." Now, nothing grabs our attention more than to hear our name called out in the middle of the night, right? I mean, parents, you can attest with me, no matter how deeply you might be sleeping, if your child cries out from their room, Mom or Dad, you wake up and you go running to find out what's happening. Maybe they're having a nightmare, they're scared or whatever. Just nothing grabs your attention more. Or perhaps think about it this way. You're in a space where it's loud, it's noisy, there's voices all over the place, and all of a sudden you hear someone, ah! And you're... You know, you hear, if you ever had that happen where you're somewhere in a crowd, you think someone calls out your name and it grabs your attention, even amidst the noise and the difficulties of whatever else is going all around us. Nothing grabs our attention more than those kind of moments. Samuel has that kind of experience three times. Actually four, but we'll get to that in a minute. Three times, and each time, those three times, the response is the same. Samuel runs to Eli and says, "Here I am. You called me." And each time Eli denies it and says, "Go back to sleep." Now, between the second time and the third time, we're given some very important information. Verse 7. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Samuel had been serving in the temple. He had been taught, but the Spirit of God had not yet revealed the word to him. Which leads us to this very important point, this slide here. God needs to reveal himself to us. We might have an intellectual understanding of God. That's not the same as believing him or knowing him. We need him, his Spirit, to reveal, to speak to the eyes of our hearts. Sometimes we sing that song, "Open the eyes of my heart." It's a metaphor for speaking directly into who we are, the deep recesses of who we are. We need the Lord to open the eyes of our hearts for us to have that understanding. What is said of Samuel may be said of us. We may come to church, we may hear the word, but have not yet had the Spirit of God open the eyes of our hearts to what he is saying, or to an understanding of our need for salvation. I pray that he reveals himself to you today. But after that third time Samuel hears God, Eli clues in, something different is going on here. Something special, something divine in origin. So when it happens again, and it happens a fourth time, Eli tells Samuel, "If you hear again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Post that slide up for me, please. Even though Samuel did not yet know the Lord, his posture was important. And I'm not talking about whether his back was straight and he sat up and those kinds of things. I'm talking about sort of the spiritual nature of his posture. In terms of hearing God's voice, he was ready. Each time he heard his name called, like a dutiful servant, he ran thinking it was Eli, his master, and he got up and immediately responded. And then when Eli told him, "Okay, if it happens again, do this," he did what Samuel suggested. He was open to hearing from God, and eventually that openness led him to knowing the Lord and serving him. He was postured or in a position to hear from God. He had a ready posture, a ready heart. Are we willing to hear? Are we open to hearing from the Lord? Because I'm not sure that's always the case. And I'm not being judgmental. These are observations, these are interactions that I've had with people. Sometimes it's because I think some people aren't open because they don't believe God can speak to us today in miraculous ways in particular. Like I said, he does. I'm not talking about sort of the hyper-charismatic way that has influenced too many Christians, but there is a sense in which God does speak to us in a variety of ways. But some can't accept that. Some simply don't believe at all. Some just aren't paying attention sometimes. And sometimes we aren't open because we'd rather trust our own abilities or we think that, well, this book is nothing more than just a nice story, a fable kind of idea, just a metaphor. I assure you, my friends, the Word of God is not a fable. It is not mere metaphor. It reveals the Word and the will of God clearly for us. But what is our posture? Are we in a position ready to hear from God? Now, I'm confident that He still speaks to us and may even be speaking to some here this morning because you're in that posture, because God speaks to the mind and heart that is open, not empty. Sometimes we hear, oh, you just have to empty your mind. No, be open. God speaks to the heart that is open, not empty. He speaks to the mind and heart that is searching and seeking. He speaks sometimes when we least expect it. I am sure that Samuel just wanted a good night's sleep. And I'm really sure Eli wanted a good night's sleep because he's old, and I'm getting older, and I get crankier if I don't get enough sleep. So I'm confident he wanted good sleep. I mean, lately around our home, we have a new puppy who, you know, wakes us up, well, wakes my wife up mostly in the middle of the night to go outside. I get up really early with the dog, and I don't know about her, but I often think, oh, Lord, I just want to sleep. But God speaks to us, you know, when we least expect it. He speaks to us through our times of prayer, as we read His Word, through our circumstances, through the spiritually discerning community of people around us. Let me give you another example. It builds on the example I gave you earlier of my life. Because when I became a youth pastor, some people would say, well, how did that happen? And I would joke about the fact that I got conned into helping. Someone said to me, hey, we're trying to do this little program for a little while. We just need help for a couple of weeks. So I said, okay, I'll come and help for a couple of weeks, which led into a lot longer than that. And then suddenly I'm co-leading with another couple. And then eventually I'm leading the whole ministry and I'm going back to school and serving as the youth pastor. And I didn't intend to have that happen to me. Somebody, you know, just help us for a couple of weeks. So I joke about the fact that I was conned into it. But even after I had sensed God's call, though, on my heart and quit my job to work at that camp in the summertime, as I mentioned earlier, I didn't know that that decision at that time would lead to vocational ministry. What I didn't share with you at that time, earlier, as I was sharing that story with you, was this. During that whole summer, different people, fellow staff members, sometimes the speaker that was there that week, all came up to me at some point and would say, you know, you should think of going to Bible school and becoming a pastor. And every time I said, you're nuts. You're crazy. No, I don't think so. Uh-uh. Then during the very last week of camp, we had this special guest speaker for part of the week who led worship as well as speaking, a young man who was traveling from camp to camp promoting Bible camp or Bible school. Bible school. Yeah, you should go to Bible school. Who comes at the very end of the summer? Somebody from Bible school. Boom, mind blown. You should go to Bible school. You're nuts. Hi, I'm from a Bible school. I wasn't expecting it, but I was open to God's leading. And through others, my circumstances, when I least expected it, God spoke. God still speaks through a variety of means in our day. Through prayer, through His Word, through others who are walking closely with Him, through our circumstances. God is not a remote, hands-off, distant deity. He is the God with whom we walk daily, and He speaks into our lives. But how do we discern the voice of God? How do we know what's and differentiate between what's a fleeting feeling and the Spirit's leading? Well, in our passage, we find one example. Eli helped Samuel discern. Now, the irony of that was the message that God spoke to Samuel, which we didn't read, but we'll do in a moment here, was not exactly something Eli wanted to hear. It says, beginning in verse 11, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Now, you're Samuel. You hear that message. What do you do with it? Well, let's continue reading. Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, of course. But Eli came to him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am. This time it actually is Samuel and Eli having that communication. What was it that he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. I wonder if we'd be willing to hear from God if the message was something drastic, like uprooting your family and moving halfway around the world, or something dramatic like the message Samuel received. But notice Eli's response. He discerned with Samuel it was indeed a message from God. No matter how personal or tragic the message was for him. And Eli's response, acceptance, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. Now, this was a very specific message for a very specific moment in Israel's history. It's not something that is a normative repeating situation. But nevertheless, it shows us that the Lord does speak to his servants and does so in a variety of ways, and we often need help discerning. So, how do we discern the voice of God? I want to give you three tests based on this and other passages of Scripture as well as personal experience. After all, if God speaks to a mind that is open, not empty, it implies that there is a foundation that we have, a platform from which we do hear God speak. And so, above all these three tests I want to show you this morning is a heart and a mind that is willing to hear what the Lord says, a posture that is ready to hear. The first test is this. What does the voice or message we hear tell us about Jesus? See, what I mean is this. God will never point us to a false hope or a false ability. When he speaks to us and directs our paths, I believe it is always to Jesus and to honor Jesus. Always points to Christ. If the message or sense of compulsion that you have just puffs you up or benefits you only instead of pointing you to Jesus, it's probably not the voice of God. If it leads to a life of sin and licentiousness, not of sin, a life of mercy and love, it is probably not the voice of God. If it leads you to depend on yourself and your own abilities rather than on the promises and presence of Christ, it's probably not the voice of God. But if it drives you to your knees and you cry out to the Lord and draw closer to him as a result, depending on his strength, his grace, his mercy, it is probably God speaking. Whether that's because you're making a decision to follow Jesus or follow where he leads, or just being reminded of our deficiencies and need of a change of behavior or choice. The voice of God through prayer, his word, others, and circumstances will always point you to Jesus. If it points you anywhere else, like power and wealth and prestige and authority, it is probably not the voice of God. So what does this voice or message we hear tell us about Jesus? Secondly, how does this voice or message we hear line up with what the Scriptures say? By the way, let me make sure you understand. All three of these tests, I'm not saying just only do one. You take all three as a package deal here, okay? That's the way we employ them and discern. Otherwise, you're going to just probably go on impulse. So does it point to Jesus, and does it line up with Scripture? See, because again, God will never ask us to do something contrary to his character or what he has already revealed in his word. Yesterday I saw a clip on social media of an influential megachurch where the pastor that was preaching said that God gave him a vision, and in the vision Jesus asked him for forgiveness. That's not God. That's pure heresy. Pure heresy. God's voice always encourages us to, in our walk with him, whether by way of correction or discipline so that we get back on the path following him, or by lifting us up in our situation and encouraging us. Our walk should be strengthened and better reflect what Scripture has already revealed. And nowhere in it does, and by the way, nowhere in the Scripture does it say that Jesus needs our forgiveness. We need his. Plain and simple, end of story. God will not, we're told even in Revelation, you know, not to add or take away from this book, from what has been revealed to us. And so we need to take that. We need to take the example of Samuel, of whom it said, and that he was one who was growing in stature and in favor with God and others. We need to know the Word of God well enough that we can grow in our faith, that we can discern every message that we hear and whether or not it is from the Lord. Does it point you to Jesus? Does it line up with Scripture? Because God does not speak to us today apart from his Word. That would be adding or taking away. Test number 3. Is the voice or message we hear confirmed by the spiritually discerning community faith around us? Eli helped Samuel discern. Elsewhere in the Scriptures, Acts chapter 13 is a great example. The church was fasting and praying to God, and as a community, they discerned and affirmed together that God had a specific calling for Paul and Barnabas, and so they prayed for them, commissioned them to go. But it was a communal event. If you sense God's voice calling you to something, get together with those close to you whom you believe and know are spiritually discerning. Pray with them. Ask them for advice. Don't always act on impulse. Those impulses might be nothing more than a good idea or a wild fantasy we'd love to see happen. When we ask advice, when we seek the spiritually discerning, God will confirm or point in another direction. Just don't leave it to your own devices. Seek out the discernment of the spiritually deep around you. Now, I'm sure if you went searching on the internet for information about this and how to hear the voice of God, you find a whole lot more on the topic. And if you do that, please be discerning. But let me wrap it up here. Because my concern here is simply that we have good reception. Wise, godly reception to the ways in which God speaks. It might not be what you think or believe or want, but I believe it to be the truth as revealed in God's word. Does he speak? Yes. Can he use any means necessary? Yes, he is God. But he has given us his word and his spirit to discern that word and to help us see where he is at work in the world. So, be in a position where you are open to hearing God's voice speak in a variety of ways. Samuel was postured, ready. He was open. Be discerning. These three tests are a good place to start. And as a final thought, be willing to put it into action. There's no sense hearing from God, sensing where he's leading, and just ignoring what he's saying. Put it into action. Through prayer, through conversation with the spiritually discerning around you, through your circumstances as he speaks, put it into action. So, how is God speaking to you today? I mean, can you hear him now? And as he speaks to you, what will you do in response? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word which is revealed to us, Lord. We have your word made clear and made true. Help us to be discerning. Help us to be wise. Help us to seek others. Help us to be in a position willing to, in a posture willing to hear from you. Help us to seek others out for advice and for direction. Help us to act in a way that honors you and lifts up your name. And so, even as we'll sing in a few moments' time, Lord, speak, O Lord, as we come to you. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.